Amen. Thank you so much. And I would just like to pray right now as Scott's going to come and share God's word with us today. We love you guys. Man, you have kept us on our knees the last months, and we're just so thankful for you and thankful for your witness, the gospel witness you have had in Ukraine. Praise the Lord. And we look forward to you coming and sharing with us how God works in the storm. Lord, we bow before you, and we just do thank you so much that wherever we are, here at Faith Bible Fellowship, or if we're over in Ukraine, or wherever on this planet, you said you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with your people. And Lord, we need the help of your presence wherever we are. And we are so blessed to have Scott and Oksana and their family with us today. And I want to pray for our brother as he comes. Lord, I know that he's a man filled with your Spirit, but Spirit of the living God, have your way. Speak to him and through him today. And Lord, help us to have hearts that are receptive to the word he brings us today. And Lord, for all that you do, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory, because Lord, you deserve it. You deserve it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Scott, would you come and again welcome Scott to our pulpit? Would you? Come on, brother.
Non-essential personnel from the embassy here in Kiev is being evacuated, and they're recommending that all American citizens leave. The situation looks very dismal right now here in Ukraine. Russia's definitely trying to make it appear that there's going to be an invasion with the buildup of troops and the provocations. All over Ukraine, there have been incursions from the south, from the east, from the north.
And people know that we are missionaries here, and so they're very grateful for whatever help we can give.
They're all around us, and so there's no way to get products, medical supplies, groceries here. Oksana felt led by the Lord to contact an owner of some grocery stores.
There's a bakery that is only 30 minutes away from us that was willing to make this huge order.
Спасибо вам огромное за вашу помощь, за помощь ваших родных, близких, ваших друзей. Все, что вы сейчас делаете, это во благо человека.
Now, obviously, things are getting a little bit complicated here because of the Russian presence, and we have to be very, very careful. We are just asking you to keep praying for people here around us that need Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can give hope in a time of war, in a time of fear. He's our anchor. We have been praying as a family about God's will and God's direction for us. And the Lord has made it very clear that the time has come for us to try to leave. We have stayed here as long as we possibly could. And so tomorrow morning, if everything stays as planned, we are going to try to get through the Russian lines to Zaporozhye, but we are asking you for prayer, and we are trusting ourselves into God's hands, into his will.
Today's 58th day of war, but we are rejoicing and praising the Lord for getting us out of Russian occupied zone. Thank you for praying for us. God sure did a miracle.
Well, we are very, very grateful. The fact that our family can be with you today, friends, is just
an answer to so many prayers. And it's your prayers. It's the prayers of God's people who have lifted us up through some very dark times during these past 6 months. And we want to thank you with all of our hearts. I am so grateful to each of you, grateful to Pastor Les, Pastor Jeremy, the leadership here at the church, for the way you have all just continued to bring our family before the throne of grace and to pray for us, to lift us up. Thank you. We have seen God answer so many prayers. And what's happening in Ukraine is an unfolding, continuing tragedy. We're leaving tomorrow, about this time, to go back to Ukraine. And as we go back, it's just unreal. Just a few weeks ago, we were in that place where there's air raid sirens, missile strikes on our city, soldiers and military vehicles everywhere. And then suddenly to come and get off the plane in Cleveland and everyone's smiling and things are calm and happy and McDonald's still works. Unreal. And yet to think we're going back into that now, it's going to be an adjustment just even after being here for a couple of weeks. But we are so thankful that we, as a family, had the chance to see some of you and just personally thank you for how you have prayed. What an answer to prayer. What many answers to prayers we have seen. And we're going to sing a song for you right now as a family in just a moment that we sing often in our language over there in Zaporozhye, Ukraine. Sometimes even when there's, at the moment we sing about arrows flying and not being afraid, at that moment as we're singing with the Ukrainian believers, there are air raid sirens and strikes and things going on outside the church, and yet it's just a joy to know that the God who is present here at this moment is the same God who is present there, and he is always faithful, a very present help in trouble. And just before we sing, I want my family to just each one to introduce themselves and share just a little brief testimony of some of the ways that God's been answering prayers and helping in our lives. Our son David is the only one missing right now. He's up in Alaska right now, and so we're hoping he's going to try to join us in October in Ukraine, but he's still working up in Alaska right now. And our girls, Dasha and Diana, are studying at college, but they're home this weekend, and we're going to have to say goodbye to them tomorrow. That's not going to be easy, but we are so glad we've had this time together. But we'll start with Daniel here.
Hello, my name is Daniel, and I'm not.
Tell them about the volunteers.
Oh, okay. So at the volunteer centers, they make bulletproof vests and camo nettings. And once my dad brought me there, and I was able to make camo netting there. It was so interesting to think that there, right now I'm making this, and when I'm finished, they're going to pack it up and give it to the soldiers. It was so interesting to think that someday a soldier would pick it up and bring it to a dangerous area.
Hello, my name is Damara, and I'm almost 15 years old, and I'm so happy to see you all today. It's so good to be back here, and I wanted to share with you one of the many miracles that the Lord did for our family. And I wanted to tell you about, since we had to leave our house in Balki, that's a little village where we were living, because it became Russian occupied. It was definitely, of course, very sad for us all, because we lived there my whole life. I grew up there. I had friends there. I had many of my possessions there. So it was, of course, very sad for us all, but we knew that the Lord had a plan for us, and the war happened for a reason. And even though we don't see what's good is happening from it, we know there is good. And so when we left Balki, that village, it was very sad, of course, but it was very nice, because when we came to Zaporozhye, which was still Ukrainian occupied, one of our friends who actually left Ukraine when the war started, they let us live at their house. And it was a big blessing, because then we had a place to minister, and it was just a big miracle, and I thank the Lord for that.
Hi, I'm Delina, and I'm 18, and it's so good to see you all today. And one moment I would like to share about when we were still in Ukraine at home and the Russians were bombing, we could hear that, and the villages and towns around us, a lot of them were being destroyed. We would lose sometimes internet or electricity for a couple days at a time even. And we had to take like certain precautions to be careful. And I remember one evening we drove to the church in town for a prayer meeting, and it was already dark outside, and I get out of the car and I look around me, and I'm standing in the middle of town, but it was pitch dark. There was no lights in any of the apartments or houses because everybody was being careful so not to attract the Russian artillery, and I remember just thinking, it's so dark, and just you could feel the heaviness in that darkness. And I remember the serious just moment. And then we went down in the basement of that church, and we prayed with other fellow Christians. And I remember that there was the light of Jesus shining, and it was just such a big contrast from what was going on outside. But it also reminds me of the verse in Romans 5 where it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so I'm going to always remember that.
My name is Diana, and I'm one of the girls that have been in the U.S. during this entire time. And so, as you can imagine, it was very overwhelming and stressful to know that my family was serving and in danger, and it was just a very concerning time for Dosh and I both to be trying to, you know, go to school, go to classes, and just meanwhile, that's just on your mind constantly. But the Lord worked it all out, actually, when Russia invaded. I was on choir tour with Dasha, and so our college was traveling around the U.S., the choir, I was part of the choir. We were singing, worshiping the Lord, and it so happened that we were on tour when everything happened. And at first, I was like, this is the worst time, Lord, why? I don't know what's happening, I can't keep in touch, I'm constantly in a service, we're singing, I'm busy, I'm ministering, this is happening. And it was a time of testing, and now looking back, I'm so grateful that the Lord worked it out perfectly. His timing is perfect, because while we were singing and just ministering to those churches, I realized that this was the time for me to actually, it was a test, and the Lord was saying, like, Diana, you're saying these words, you're singing these songs. One of them was, even in the valley, God is good. And God was, I feel like he was speaking to me and saying, do you actually believe this when you're going through this valley? Do you believe that I'm good? And it was a difficult time. But looking back, I'm so grateful that he grew me during that trial. And looking back, I can see his grace and his goodness. And he was walking along with me. And even though those were dark days, I'm just grateful for his goodness.
My name is Dasha. And I was also in the States when everything happened with my sister. And I was on choir tour. And like Diana said, I feel like the Lord had us there for a reason during that time, because even just visiting the churches and hearing everyone, how they were praying for us and all the encouragement, and I just want to thank you as a church just for encouraging us older siblings as we were in the States during this time, and I just want to thank you for that. And I remember getting back from choir tour, and like a few days after, I was reading my Bible, and I came across the verse in Psalms 27 that said, though an army encamp against me, I will not fear. And that encouraged me, and I just want to thank you all for your prayers and support.
Amen. And my name is Oksana. I will not tell you how old I am. but anyway, we are so grateful to you for your prayers, for standing by us, because we've seen miracles of God. God just did things for us that we never imagined. And I just want briefly to share with you a little background story, because so many people ask us, why did you stay? Why did you put your kids in danger? Why did you do that? And my husband even got a lot of criticism by doing that. But I want to explain to you what was really happening and how we took this whole war situation seriously. You know, even before the war started, there were news and threats, and American Embassy was contacting us even in the beginning of February and last days of January, and they were telling American citizens that we were supposed to evacuate. Scott and I, when we received those emails, we prayed about it and we asked God to show us what to do. And then we were getting even more emails from the embassy, and they were once again encouraging us and telling us that this is the last flights, last chances that we have to evacuate. And as Scott and I prayed about this, we asked God, what are we supposed to do? We knew some people that left Ukraine. We also saw that there is a real danger, but we didn't want to act based on our emotions. And that's why we prayed. And I remember after a three-day fast, Scott came to me and he said, Oksana, let's pray specifically and let's ask God to show his will clearly to us. And in Ukraine, in the area where we live, there is a presiding elder who is in charge of all the churches of Zaporozhskaya region. And his name is Alexey Mikhailovich. And so all the pastors of that region, including my husband, Scott, they're accountable to Alexey Mikhailovich, and they have gatherings periodically where they discuss different things. So we have a spiritual authority in Ukraine, and that's Alexey Mikhailovich. And so Scott said, let's pray that if God wants us to leave Ukraine, even there is no war yet, let's pray that God would lay on Alexey Mikhailovich's heart to call us and to tell us that I think you need to evacuate. So we were praying specifically that God would show his will through our spiritual authority. So we were praying, Alexey Mikhailovich didn't call. The war started, Alexey Mikhailovich didn't call. And we accepted that as God's guidance, because that's how we prayed. And what did we do for 18 years in Ukraine? We shared with people about the faith in Jesus Christ, and we encouraged them and challenged them to have unconditional faith and devotion to the Lord. And that was the test for us. I remember the first day of the war when we gathered together for prayer. I remember Scott sharing how this is the test of our faith. And God is testing us. How are we going to respond? What are we going to do? Are we going to act based on our emotions, or are we going to seek him and do what he wants us to do? And now it's been 6 months, and I still remind myself of those words that Scott shared with us, because this is the test of our faith. But let's get back to Alexey Mikhailovich. So Alexey Mikhailovich didn't call us, and almost 10 days before Easter, I'm sorry, I'll get back, because something very important happened while we were in occupation during those days. As the war started, right away, our area was surrounded, so people were not able to get through the Russian army, and our village and town were cut off from civilization. The stores were emptied almost immediately. There was no fuel. Banks didn't work. Drug stores were empty. So there was a desperate need. And people were just scared, because when there's no food, I mean, that terrifies people. There were some people that had some extra supplies or extra groceries, and they were selling them on the black market. So rice used to be 40 hryvnia a kilo. It became 300 hryvnia a kilo. Prices went up. Medication was crazy expensive. But I'm telling you, our God is amazing, because he brought different people into our lives, even some people who were not Christians. And we were able to get bread. We were able to provide milk products, even cheese, lunch meat, grain, flour, so many things God provided, and we were able to give it to people. And as we were giving that to people, as we were giving even medication, and so, like I said, so many people were desperate because they needed that medication, and as they were receiving it from us, and we were telling them, God provided that. And they would ask, how much do we owe you? And I said, nothing. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody already paid for it and just passed it to us. And as we shared that, people were amazed. And that's when we understood why Alexey Mikhailovich didn't call us, that God had a purpose for us being there. And Alexey Mikhailovich didn't call us, but 10 days before Easter, Alexey Mikhailovich showed up at our doorsteps. Somehow he was able to get through the Russian lines, and he approached us, and he told us that he thinks it's time for our family to evacuate. And You know what we told him. We shared how we specifically prayed and how we've seen the hand of God. And it is amazing how God got us out of that occupied zone. It's amazing to look back and see that our Lord is faithful. And on our prayer card, we have this beautiful verse, and it says, "We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us into a place of abundance." And in Russian language, it says, "Мы прошли через воду и огонь, но ты вывел нас на свободу." And that last word means freedom. Freedom, freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's why we are going back, because we want to bring salvation and freedom of Jesus Christ to people who are left in Ukraine.
I will dwell in the shadow of your wings. I will know of the peace your love can bring. Night will fall, but I will not be afraid when I dwell in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow, in the shadow, in the shadow.
What a wonderful place to remain, to be there in the shadow of the Almighty. And I encourage you to make sure that your soul and your life is in the hand of Christ. Thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Before communion today, before we honor the Lord and remember his suffering and the foundation of our faith, the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, let's look at a passage of scripture just for a couple moments today. Chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to read just a few verses of a very familiar moment in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark, verse 35 to the end of the chapter. On the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Friends, I see some moments here that have encouraged my heart over these past months. The first thing I see as we read these verses is that Christ knows exactly where he's leading us, even when that way is full of adversity. He knows. Yes. When those disciples got into the boat, when Jesus said, let's get into the boat, don't think that Jesus didn't know he was leading them into a storm. Jesus wasn't surprised. Jesus didn't see the wind and the waves later on and say, oh no, what have I done? I've made a terrible mistake. Not at all. Jesus knew from the moment he sat those disciples into the boat and started heading off that they were going to face what they were going to face, but he had a purpose in it. He had a purpose, and it's such a comfort for us today as his children to know that he knows where he's leading us today. Each of you individually, whatever you may be facing, it hasn't taken God by surprise. And what happened in Ukraine with us did not take God by surprise. Even when that way is full of adversity, Christ knows. And I love what Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. He will be with us in those moments. And you know, for years, I wondered at times why God still had us in Ukraine. Sometimes I would sit in our village, and you know, we'd be ministering to the children of our village. We'd travel to churches and help the churches around us, and I would lead teachings and seminars, but I wasn't always seeing the fruit and the results that I prayed for and I longed for. Oksana and I wondered, why are we still here? Our kids are growing up. They're moving out. Well, shouldn't we be going back to America and kind of switching gears in our life now? And God never gave a peace about that. As we would seek his will, I would constantly feel this little moment in my heart where God would say, Scott, you remember how clearly I led you to Ukraine? That's how I'm going to lead you away. And I wondered, God, why aren't you speaking? Why are you silent? Why won't you tell me why we're still here? And then I remember when this war started, and I began to see certain moments. I remember standing, and you saw the pictures there, standing on the door, the steps of our church in our village, and people gathering around. As I read scriptures, I prayed with them, and as we helped them and gave them humanitarian items, I remember thinking, God, I never dreamed I'd have the opportunity to sow the gospel seed right now with people in my village who would gather and crowd the steps of our church. The mayor of our village and the village workers, you saw them crying there. We would gather regularly with them in the village council building, and I would say, can we pray with you during these dark hours? And they would sob and they'd say, please pray with us, pray for our village. And we would pray, and I would open my eyes afterwards, and they're all crying, and they were so grateful for those prayers as we shared God's word with them. I remember seeing the opportunities that God was giving to help people, to share his love with them. A couple came to our home that we had prayed for years for, and they said, we don't want to go another day without getting right with God. And they knelt on the floor of our living room, and they got saved, and they prayed. And I looked at that, and I thought, we prayed for years, and God never let us leave. Could it be that maybe God was saying, just be patient. You don't understand it right now. You don't see it now, but I know the way I've led you. Even though that way has been full of questions and confusion, I know, and you need to trust that I know. And I want to say to you today, friends, whatever you're facing today, it's true for you as well. As a child of God, you can be absolutely certain that Christ knows the way he's leading you. In our difficulties, the second thing I see is that suffering and difficulty doesn't mean that God's forsaken us. Because here the disciples were in the storm, the waves and the wind were beating, and I'm sure they were tempted to think, what is going on? What have we done wrong? You know, God wasn't punishing them. We would look at that and we'd say, oh, you must have really messed up for you to get into this circumstance. You know, sometimes we're like Job's friends. Remember Job's friends? Oh, if you're suffering, it means that you have messed up. God is not happy with you, and that's why you're sick. That's why your children are in the situation they're in. That's why your prayers aren't being answered. That's why you're facing these difficulties, these financial, whatever it is. You must have really messed up. Don't automatically think that. I want to say today that suffering and difficulty in the lives of Christians does not automatically mean that God is angry with us. Jesus never promised health, wealth, in prosperity. He promised that he would be with us in the fire and in the flood, that he would never leave us or forsake us. And I want to just assure you today that God has not forsaken you, and he didn't forsake us. And we could look at those Ukrainians and we could say, our friends, God has not forsaken you. He has not forsaken you, and he wants to come near to you during this time. You know, in our difficulties, and this is the third moment I see, it sometimes seems that God doesn't care about what we're experiencing. It sometimes seems that God doesn't care, but that's not the case. In verse 38, what did we read? He was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. Does it ever seem like Jesus is asleep in your life, that he's not answering your prayers? How many years have you prayed for that child or for those parents? Or how many years have you wondered why God is allowing this? Does it ever seem like he's asleep? But and the disciples even said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Have you ever said that, God? It seems like you don't care." But it's not the case. Isaiah 53:4 says he, you know, we're going to celebrate communion today. And we know as Christians, he bore our transgressions, our sins. He shed his precious blood to wash us and to cleanse us and to give us salvation and sanctification. Praise God for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. But he also, on the cross, it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, he bore our griefs. Not just our transgressions and our sins, our griefs and our sorrows, our sicknesses. He cares. And even though sometimes we're like the disciples, "Don't you care, Master, that we're perishing?" He does care. He cares about what I'm experiencing, what you're experiencing today. And you know, as we stand right now in Zaporozhye, the city that's the frontline city, just 30 miles away from the fighting, and you know, as we stand with those refugees that are flooding that city, coming out of occupation, it's such a joy to be able to look at them and say, "Folks, first of all, yeah, we're Americans, but we understand what you're going through, because we had to leave. I had to watch my wife in a couple of brief hours try to pack 18 years of our life into a couple little bags. And I saw her with tears leaving behind children's photo albums and their little drawings that they drew when they were little and all those things, that the people that we love, our house, our ministry, our church. We had to leave that behind." And I look at those refugees as we preach to them and share with them and then give them humanitarian items, I say, "Folks, I'm here to say today that Jesus does care. There is a shepherd, a good shepherd, who wants you to be his sheep, who wants to care for you if you'll let him, if you'll open your heart to Jesus Christ." What a joy it is to comfort them and to help them and to see the chances to serve them. And I want to thank all of you that during these past couple weeks have prayed also and helped us even gather some of the humanitarian items, socks and blankets and other things that we were this week able to send off to Ukraine. As a church, you have supported us faithfully over so many years, and we've been able to take those finances and bless others now with that. And I want to thank you, Oksana and I, our children, we want to thank you for your generosity. You have given so much, and we're able to now tomorrow leave to go back to Ukraine and be able to give to people. We've bought refrigerators and couches. We go into the homes of these refugees that have come out, and they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. They're trying to rent an apartment or something there in Zaporozhye, and they don't have anything. And we're able to say, God has laid on the hearts of people that you don't even know. This isn't from us. We're just passing along the blessing. And people are, with tears, they thank us and they thank you. We're just so grateful to you for allowing that to happen, because we're able to remind people that Jesus does care. He does care. And then Christ has full authority and control over the circumstances in our lives, because in verse 39, he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." How we have longed for Jesus to come and stand over Ukraine and say, "Peace, be still. Stop this evil. Stop this war that Russia has unleashed against these people." We have prayed for that, and we ask you to continue to pray for a miracle, to continue to pray that God would do that. But in the meantime, while God allows this to happen, we're praying that we would trust in him and that others would put their trust in Christ, because Christ has full authority and control over all the circumstances in our lives. And as we went through those Russian block posts, 19 Russian block posts we had to pass through, we didn't know how they were going to respond to our American documents, our American passports. And I prepared the children. I said, they're going to probably separate us. And they're going to say, what are your parents really doing here? What's going on? And they're going to grill us. And they're going to confiscate everything we have. And, you know, they're going to, we were prepared for that. But I said, God is not going to forsake us. And as we approached the first checkpoint, I said, let's take turns praying. And Daniel prayed. And then at the next checkpoint, Damara prayed. And then at the next checkpoint, Delina prayed. Then Oksana. Then I did. And we were in our little car there with Alexei, that pastor, driving. And I was in the passenger seat. All the kids were crowded in the back with all their suitcases on their laps. And you know, as we went through those checkpoints, one after another, as we prayed, as we approached them, we see those Russians standing with their Kalashnikovs. And we see the machine guns. And we're seeing the burnt out buildings and tanks and everything else. We said, Lord, you're bigger than all of this. Help us, God. You hear the people praying right now. You were on your knees praying. And we would go to that checkpoint and we would see God do a miracle 19 times as we went through those checkpoints. God just caused confusion. And they looked at our documents and they were shocked. They couldn't believe, what are you doing here? They said, why are you even here? You're Americans. What's going on? And we explained, we live here. This is my family. This is... They looked at each other in bewilderment. They began to call on their radios. They couldn't figure out what to do with us. They had no clue. And finally, they would just kind of look, and they'd look at our documents. They'd ask us some questions, and they'd invariably just say, go to the next checkpoint. They'll tell you what to do there. And so we go to the next one. And, you know, there were some difficult moments there, you know, times when one car... a couple officers cut us off and said, are you the Americans? We need to help you. You're in danger here in Ukraine. So we need to escort you, but not through Ukraine. We're going to escort you to Russia. And we're going to help you get out of Ukraine through Russia. That'll be safer for you if we escort you through Russia. And we said, no, that's not a good idea. We're going to keep going here because we feel like, you know, we have Ukrainian documents and we need to get out of here. And they could not... I remember them calling, saying, well, special services are going to come in just a few moments here, and they're going to deal with you. And they kept calling, and obviously they were busy or something, because for a half hour there, they couldn't get through to them, or they were saying, just wait, we're still trying to connect with them. And finally, he said, all right, listen, in a half hour, you can leave if special operations hasn't come and talked to you. We're getting calls. We need to leave right now. And we're right before a checkpoint. The guy has his machine gun aimed at us there. And I said, what about that guy? Is he going to just let us go? He said, well, I'll tell him to let you go. And so after a half hour, we came to him and said, he said we could leave after a half hour. And they let us go to the next checkpoint. You know, we could see the devil was trying to do things, but they couldn't get their act together. And God was sending this spirit of confusion. And when we finally got out to Ukrainian territory, the Ukrainian soldiers, oh, we were praising God. We were rejoicing. We had big smiles. And the Ukrainian soldiers look in. They took our documents. And then they were shocked, too. They said, where did you come from? We told them we came from over there. And they said, there's no way. They never would have let you through. There's no way they would have let you through with these American documents. They would have arrested you. They would have. Do you know what they think of Americans right now? America's providing weapons to them. That you are enemy. No, they hate you more than they hate the Ukrainians. They never would have let you. I said, we serve a great God, and people have been praying. Praise the Lord. Folks, I want you to know God hears and answers prayer, and he did miracles. And you know, we serve a God who has full authority and control over all the circumstances in our lives. And if he says, peace, be still, it's going to happen. Yes. And so we can trust him in our lives. The final thing I see here is that fear is a sign that we need to have more faith in God. Because Jesus said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, but a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. And God does not want us as his children to make our choices based on panic and based on fear and based on emotion and feeling. I know it's easy to be led by our feelings. It's easy to think, Lord, this is what other Christians are doing. This is what other people say. This is what the U.S. Embassy says. I better do that. Instead of seeking God and getting before him and saying, Lord, just because everybody else is doing it, even good people, Christians, What do you want me? What do you want my family to do? How is it that you want to lead us? It is so important, friends, to be led by the Spirit of God and not by our feelings and emotions, which can lie to us. And fear and panic is a sign, as Jesus said, that we need to have more faith. Why is it that you're so fearful and do not have faith? He connects those two. And so often I see that panic and fear in our lives. You know, we're panicked about, we're praying for our children. We're so worried in this evil, sinful world. What's going to happen to our kids? And we can panic. We're worried about finances and things at work or at school or physical needs or whatever it may be. And we're panicked about these conflicts in our family or wherever else. Instead of saying, God, am I going to believe you? And this is an exam. Am I going to pass this test? God wants us to live not on our feelings, not by what our mind, because you know there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, aren't they? Jesus, God said. And he wants us to learn to live by faith and not by our emotions. And I remember, you know, years ago when the war first started, because this simmering war has been going on after Russia took over Crimea and then the Donbas region. They've been fighting, and I would go with the chaplains to the front lines. And I remember going to Mariupol, which is now completely destroyed, but we would go to Mariupol, and then we were in a little village called Shirokina, right outside Mariupol. It was the front lines of the fight several years ago, and there was artillery shelling that night. We prayed with the soldiers there, shared the gospel with them, brought them food and aid, and I remember trying to get out of there that night. We had to turn all of our headlights off because there was artillery shelling, and they could see the headlights of the van. And as we got out of there, we got to Vodianoye, which was the village right outside of Mariupol where we were staying. And there was still artillery shelling not far away, but the Ukrainian officer, Alexander Nikolaevich, that I was bunking with that night, he said, you can set up your sleeping bag right there. And so I did that, and it was a pile of boxes. And I said, what are these boxes? And he laughed, and he opened them up, and they were full of grenades. And I said, you're putting me on a bed of grenades, Alexander Nikolaevich? He said, Scott, it's better that way. If one of these shells falls on us, you won't suffer at all, I promise. He said, you will not be wounded. You'll just disappear, and that's the end of it. So, and I remember laying there that night and listening to the shelling and thinking, you know, Lord, I've always believed and heard from a child growing up that if we're in God's will, if we're a child of God, we are indestructible until God's work is finished. And so, Lord, this is time for me to test that out. Do I believe that? Do I believe that right now? You know, or do I just say I'm a Christian? Do I just say I believe and have faith? Or am I going to live that out? You know, we don't take unnecessary risks. We don't do things that are silly. I wouldn't recommend to you sleeping on a bed of grenades, but that's all I had that night. And you know, I remember closing my eyes, and I probably slept better that night than I've ever slept before. In peace, knowing that I have a God who will never leave me or forsake me. And folks, I want you to know today, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you know the song that's been going through my mind this week, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. I'm so glad that we have that kind of God, that kind of confidence in a Savior who is with us in the darkest hours of our lives. And it's all because he took the first step. He took the first step when we were yet sinners. It says Christ died for us, and we're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Let's remember, folks, it's not just about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's real right now, today, for us here. He is faithful, and he loves us, and his sacrifice means everything to us right now. That's why we're going back tomorrow. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, because it's still offered to the people of Ukraine, and we need to share that message with them. So we ask for your prayers as we go back. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your giving, for your prayers, for your attention to our family, and keep praying for Ukraine, that God would do a miracle. May God bless each one of you.